Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Well, hello, hello there, everyone. I am so excited to be back with you today on Grit, Grace, and Glitz, where we get to just get together as people that are just going from good to great or from great to phenomenal and just taking our lives to that next level. Well, you are in for such a treat today, because I am here with Ann Bonney, who is not only a fun, but is such an energetic, high, like e-personality. She does international motivation key speaking and really helps as a keynote speaker who influences the igniter. She is an authority on change management, a two-time author, a podcast host, you got to listen into her, of Ignite Your Influence podcast, and an experienced virtual in-person and hybrid workshop facilitator. Woo, man. And after 20 years of being highly successful in corporate America and the nonprofit leadership positions, Anne now uses all of her experiences, all of her education, all of her expertise to help ignite your ability to influence others by harnessing emotional intelligence. Whoa, big one there. You know, they always used to talk about IQ, but I truly believe, and I can't wait for Anne to share a little bit more about how important that EQ is. Courageously communicating and effectively dealing with change. Man, drop the mic. I don't even know if I have to say much more. Anne, welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. How are you today?
Thanks, Erica. I'm great. It's good to be on the show.
Oh, man, we are so excited. We're just so excited to hear from you. And again, guys, I don't know if you heard me, but Anne speaks to tens of thousands of hundreds of thousands of people. She, once you hear her, you're probably not going to want to drop this for a second, because she just will fill you up with so much good energy. Anne and I met completely randomly, but I truly believe for a reason, on Instagram. And again, reminding everyone, make those connections. You never know who you're going to find, who's going to lift you to that next stratosphere. And she is certainly one of them. The minute I got on the phone with her, I'm like, I need to be friends with this woman. I want to connect with this woman because she's going to next level my energy. And she is someone that I know I can learn so many pieces of valuable information from. So Anne, let's talk about this. You define success in so many ways with everything that you've done, everything you're doing, and I know everything you're bound to do in the future. What does success actually mean to you? Because we throw that word around so easily, right? Oh, she's successful. Oh, she's successful. And how do you measure being successful at something? Like, how would someone on this podcast that's listening today say, hey, am I success or not?
Well, and I think that's such an important question that we all answer for ourselves. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in somebody else's definition of success. And then you find yourself like, oh, crap, I'm not happy. You know, and I did that. You know, I climbed the corporate ladder. I ended up in New York City on the executive team with an office in Manhattan and the, you know, corporate American Express and all this stuff. And I was miserable. And I'm like, okay, if this is it, like, this sucks, you know? And other people who I worked with absolutely loved it and felt filled and felt, you know, fantastic. I ended up at 42 years old, leaving that job, moving in with my parents in their basement in Traverse City, Michigan, and starting my own speaking business. And so success for me is loving what I do and then finding grace and ease in that. So I've been spending the last 6 years like figuring out, how do I become a successful speaker and, you know, inspire people as I talk. And now that I'm super, super, super busy, I'm fine tuning that and honing that to not only get to inspire people every day and get paid for it, but to find that grace and ease in my life. So that's what success means for me.
Oh, love it. Love it. And it's so true. Cause I think so often, and especially I'll call our generation, right? Like Generation X, you know, I think like most of us came out of school, like you get a good job, you go to work for 40 years, make sure you invest in your 401k, and maybe at 67 years old, you'll be able to go take that dream vacation. Right?
Right. And you go, and, go, and you work to get all this stuff. And then you hate your life. And you're like, wait a second. Wait, what?
But what I love about what you just said is some people, that is their success. There's nothing wrong with that. Right.
Right.
Your success looks different. Like, cause there's some people that are truly satisfied and so fulfilled and feel so successful. And let's face it, we need them in corporate America. And then there's so many people that are in entrepreneurs like yourself who just dared to take a change. One isn't more or less successful. And I think so often, and I don't know if you see this a lot, but I know I see it. I feel like so many people equate it to the car you're driving, the money in your bank account,
right?
You know what I mean? The glamorous vacation you went on, and that's all great, right? Like, to me, that is part of success, right? Because I think we all ultimately like want to have and be able to do, you know, great things like that and, you know, fulfill our goals or dreams. But let's face it, it's not the shiny car all the time. It's not the Louis Vuitton bag. The success, like you said, is you waking up every day and being like, damn, I love what I do.
Right. Right. Right? And, you know, I mean, and even the third option is my sister-in-law is a stay-at-home mom. Mm. She does a lot of homesteading. She grows her own food. They can. They're like, I joke every time I go over there and help, like, I'm a pioneer. They're like, no, you're not. You just got a pedicure. You're not. But like for her, that's success. Like creating this family that's healthy and happy. And, you know, she's raising amazing humans. And that's her definition of success. So, I mean, and it's hard because like you said, we get so many signals from the outside that says, oh, it has to be this. And right. We got to ignore that and say, hey, what do I want? Because so, I might want to be a barista at Starbucks all my life and write people's names wrong on the cup. Like that may be it.
Yep.
And if that's what feels good, well. You're going to be happy. You're going to be nice to me in the grocery store. I love it. I'm good to go.
Yep. Yeah. And make that damn writing look awesome. Right.
That's like, right.
You know what I mean? And do it with passion and do it with poise. So right. Let me ask you a question. I mean, you just talked about something that was like, so you backed this up. You said, hey, listen, at 42, you decided time out. I'm leaving corporate America. I have this successful or on paper successful career.
Yeah.
How was it easy for you to feel still stay fulfilled and feel successful moving in with your parents, leaving this corporate career when there was probably 10,000 voices coming your way telling you why you shouldn't do it? Like, so someone's on the cusp of that. Someone's listening to this right now saying, I want to do what Anne's doing. And maybe it's speaking or something else, some other big adventure, but they're going, damn, I'm going to not feel successful because you felt successful for so many years in corporate on, like I said, on paper. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And I'm sure you got so many accolades for that. So what are some tools that you use during that like tough transition? Because now you're back full force in, you know, to me, success to the nth degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it took 3 or 4 years to get there. And I worked at the Olive Garden and you know what I mean? It's like at 42, I never thought I was going to be working in the restaurant industry again. I'm like, I made it. I had 6 figures in New York City. And now I work at the Olive Garden and live in my parents' basement. The difference was I knew I was heading towards something I was excited about. And so when we take these giant leaps, and there were times I ran out of money, I ran out of credit. And either I had to, and that's when I started working at Olive Garden. Cause I was like, all right, this isn't working as quickly or as fast and as well as I wanted. And I literally thought, okay, I'm going to go get a job. I just need to get a job. I've gotten lots of job offers in the last, I think it was like 9 months into the new adventure. And I'd gotten a lot of job offers and I was like, all right, it's time to go get another job. And then the next day I woke up and I'm like, nope, you figure it out. I don't want to get another job. I want to figure this out. I don't mind. I think it was $1,200 my first year as a speaker. You know, once I thought about all the money that I put into, I actually made $1,200.
to me, that's cash flow positive, right?
Right.
I mean, some people, right? You didn't lose $12,000,
right.
Which could have very well happened. Like to me, like, girl, you're batting ahead. But right. Let's face it, going from a 6-figure income to $1,200, you're like, man. Right. Like, can I afford more than bread and water this month? Right.
Right. And what kept me doing it was I knew what I was aiming at. Mm. I knew I was excited about it. I knew I was going to make it work. And that's what kept me going for those 3 years where I was like, okay, this was supposed to happen in 6 months and I'm not there yet. You know, you always have these really big, you know, it's going to happen so fast. And for some people it does. Awesome. But man, it didn't for me.
Well, and let's face it, like those are the stories we hear, right? We hear about the pro athlete who all of a sudden was, or the, you know, college athlete who all of a sudden was, you know, the star quarterback on an NFL team. Or we hear about these like massive successes, like, you know, but it's all those little things. And I appreciate you being so honest and so vocal about those little things that had to happen, right? And the fear that you had and the self-limiting beliefs that may have been there. What kept you most focused during that time? Was it a vision board? Was it writing down your goals every day? Like someone's listening to this and is like, how do you keep that vision? I mean, that sounds great. And it's easy for Anne to say that now as a super successful speaker making, you know, well more than she was making in corporate America, I'm sure. And it's like on her terms, you know what I mean? And doing exactly what she loves to do. But during that time of vulnerability or that time of fear, or that time of struggle, how did you overcome those limiting beliefs? Is there any tools that you used?
Yeah, there were two things. First of all, and you talked about this earlier when you were talking about your Miami trip, where you were around so many people who lift you up, who take you to that next level. And so I joined the association, the National Speakers Association. And so I was surrounded by speakers who were not only successful, but willing to share their success with me. And so I knew I was seeing other people doing it. And I was like, okay, it can be done. And okay, what did you do for this? And I used them as mentors in not in a like greedy way, but, you know, learning from those who had done it before. That was the first thing I did. The second thing I did was every time it worked, not only did I do a friggin' dance and celebrate that when it worked well and I got a speaking engagement or the speaking engagement went well, I also looked back and said, okay, what did you do to make that happen? Like, what can you repeat to make that happen again?
So it sounds like a lot of self-reflection. And it's so often, like, how often are we really giving ourselves that candid, realistic feedback, right? Sometimes like we do it, I know, like in corporate, right? Like you do it, you know, twice a year, right? You actually put on paper and you're like, oh, I'm going to think about what I did. And you forget, you know, out of the 6 months you're doing the evaluation, you forget probably the first four, right? But trying to come up with a habit of doing that every day and, you know, whatever habit that is, however you built that, but it sounds like you really became up as like, hey, listen, I have to take a hard look before I try to go to the next lily pad. I got to take a real self-reflection of what went well. And I'm sure on the flip side, if it wasn't your best speaking engagement, why didn't it go so well? Like, where was the energy off? Like, where was my audience off? Like, where was I off? Like, and what do I need to tweak for next time?
And so often we get caught up in, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. And I think I shifted my mindset to not, I'm not there yet. And even though I said that a lot, especially late at night, I shifted it to, how did I get here? How did I get here? And like you said, how do I use that again to get to the next lily pad?
Yeah. And duplicate, right? Yeah. Duplicate better. It really is. It has to become, it sounds like it became a real habit for you. And I think anything in our life, right? We have to create those good habits in order to get better, right? Like we can't just rely on luck. Every once in a while, luck will work, but far and few between. Like I haven't had a lot of just lucky things happen in my life. I think some people will look at it as lucky, but they didn't see the sweat that went behind it or the tears or that self-reflection or the skinned knees or the stubbed toes and many of those in between. And I still have many of those wall kicking moments. You know, I was going running for a really, really big goal this Sunday, right? This yesterday, and I missed it. Right. And I went back and I did some reflection on myself today and I'm like, okay, well, why did I miss it? And I'll be honest with you. I honestly say, I missed it, but I am one step closer, right? I'm like, damn. I was like, I know what to do now. The wheels are greased.
Yeah.
And let's face it, like, not all of us meet every single goal or every single expectation we put out there. Like I said, it looks good because I think we think when we see the accolades or we see the highlight reels or we see this glamorous picture on Instagram or on LinkedIn, we're like, oh my goodness, look at, she went for the first try. And I'm sure your first couple speaking engagements weren't like, ballpark, out of the ballpark, like perfect, right?
Well, no, I mean, I've definitely learned a lot in the process for speaking. I did a lot of speaking in corporate. So yeah, you know, my whole career has had that. So that was the kind of an easy jump. It was getting the work.
Okay. Okay.
You know, getting the gigs, but you know, it's continuing to look at, all right, how do I keep moving this thing forward and learning? And that's the thing. Like, people think you're not going to fail. It's not going to be hard. Oh my God. The more risks you take, the more steps you take towards what you want, the more you're going to fail.
Yep. Yep.
The more you're going to succeed,
yep,
but the more you're going to fail sometimes. And so it's like saying, okay, this isn't a failure. I just learned one way that doesn't work. Or, okay, that didn't quite work. Let me do this a little bit differently, which is probably what you're going to do next time you hit
exactly
that big goal. Saying, yep, okay, I know what to tweak now. Let's go.
And you know what I love is like showing other people, like I involved like my son this week in like what that goal was and showing them like, listen, you don't always succeed the first time, but mm-hmm, it doesn't mean to throw in the towel, right? We're going to go after this again. And like, you know what I mean? It's like losing a baseball game, right? We're going to go back and guess what? Next week, we're going to show up and we're going to play again. We're going to play better. We're going to play smarter. We're going to play, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to be on our A game.
Right.
And that's okay. So, you know, that's it's such a part of life. And regardless, I don't care, like I said, if you're in corporate, if you have your own entrepreneurial business, whatever it is, whatever type of listener you are, or you're, like I said, leading a household with, you know, kids at home and, you know, home growing, like all of your vegetables. I mean, rock on to you, because I give stay-at-home parents like the utmost of respect, because I'm like, I know I wasn't cut from that cheesecloth to be able to
right
do that. Like,
right,
I recognize that and I'm okay with that. Right. My mm-hmm kids learn other lessons from me. Okay. So let's shift a little. Like, we've all had situations in our life where we've had some really tough conversations. Right. And lots of people are afraid of the word confrontation, because it seems to have like a negative energy, or do we mm-hmm bring it up and how do we handle it? You know, for anyone that's going through tough confrontation, maybe that's with a significant other, maybe that's with their teenage child right now, maybe that's with, you know, a colleague. Talk to me a little bit about how you deal with confrontation and how you're able to get an outcome from it that isn't just negative energy. You're able to turn it into positive energy and ultimately, you know, impact change.
We've got to face the fact that difficult conversations are part of human interaction. They're part of life. In order to, you know, succeed well in a marriage, gosh, anybody who's been married knows that, but at work as well, we've got to have these tough conversations. And I think the first mindset shift is shifting from, I'm going to go confront this person, to I need to go call this person into a collaborative problem-solving conversation. So rather than calling them out, like, Erica, you did something wrong, let's call them in. And hey, Erica, I would love to talk to you about something that's kind of upsetting me. And I'd love to get to a point where we can work a little more effectively together. And as soon as we shift that focus, it moves from finger waggy, you know, like, you did something wrong, which no adult is ever going to respond well to, thank you very much, to, hey, I'd like to work with you to try to, so that we can work something out, you know, so that we can work better together. And as soon as you shift that focus, you're much more likely that the other person's going to engage in that conversation and be open to helping you. Now,
yes,
the reason that tough conversations are so hard is we never know what the other person's going to do. We don't know what they're going to say. We don't know how they're going to react. And so, I mean, that's why these things are so hard. But when we start off the conversation in a collaborative, like, let's partner on this kind of way, even if we're frustrated, even if we're mad, calming down and approaching the situation that way, you're much, much more likely to actually have an outcome that solves problems,
yeah,
and builds the relationship going forward.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, don't you feel like you next level relationships when you start on a, even a confrontation like issue, and you're able to be level and have a good mindset with it. Like, and I look at some of my bosses in the past, right? And the ones that were shouters and dictators versus the ones that said, hey, listen, we got an issue here. This is how I feel. And all of a sudden that, like, it's almost like you're both taking that deep breath, like,
okay, yeah.
And it's got a problem. Still, let's deal with it.
Yeah. And it's still uncomfortable, but it's not condescending.
No. Nope.
It's not confrontational. It's not attacky.
Mm-mm.
You're still saying, we got a problem.
Absolutely.
And I want to work on it with you.
And, you know, one of the best, two pieces of advice that, like, I use right now in my corporate world, you know, I manage an entrepreneurial business and I manage, you know, well, I'll say, you know, a family, my two young kids, my husband. Yeah. And then I also, have a corporate, job. And what I will say is, go aggressive towards the problem and not people.
Right.
Right. If yes. you think about what the actual problem is, instead of, like you said, that finger wagging, oh, it's Billy's fault. Mm-hmm. Why was Billy put in that situation? Right. Why did this happen? Why did this person feel that way? And that comes from a really high, we talked about at the beginning, a really high EQ. Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's not easy. So right. It's really easy for you and I to talk about it, right? But when emotions are high and you feel like you're a victim and you feel like you've been hurt, it's damn hard. Mm-hmm. Even for someone like you who coaches on it, I'm sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, 100%.
Right?
Yeah.
We're human.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I always, the other thing I always try to do is I say, when I sit down, especially in my corporate world with someone who has maybe I feel like really went off track or just wasn't like there's just this weird energy between us. I always try to put the what I think the problem is back of them and said, how can we resolve this? And let mm-hmm. them talk first. Because
oh,
many a times they're going to come up with the same solution that I'm going to come up with. But when it comes from that person's mouth, bam. I mean, the success rate goes up exponentially, right?
Because you didn't just walk in and tell them what to do. You're involving them in the solution and their ownership, like you said, is just going to skyrocket.
Yeah. So simple. So again, if you're listening to this and you're a parent, I have an 8-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter, and I'll be like, what would you have done differently? Instead of saying next time, make sure that you had done it. Like today, my son came home and was like, I'm supposed to read 100 minutes every week. And he read 96, right? And he's like, or 94, I'm sorry. And I said, well, what did your teacher say? And he goes, well, he was a little disappointed. I go, well, what are you going to make sure that you do better, for this week? I said, are we going to get ahead on Monday and Tuesday? So Sunday night, we're not trying to get those last couple minutes as you're falling asleep, right? And but allow them, even at a young age, for them to come up and be problem solvers and come up with the solution. So many people that are listening to this are parents, right? And allow your child. And I always say, get down to their level. Like every once in a while, especially my 5-year-old, I'll actually, when I'm not too heated and I allow myself to actually solve it correctly, I'll actually get down on her level. I'll bend down on one knee and I'll look her right in the eyes, right? And I'll make sure she looks me right in the eyes, because sometimes she'll want to avoid eye contact, right? Because it feels yucky, mm-hmm. right? Because she knows she's in trouble. And with a soft voice and this, Adeline, how would we deal with this differently next time? Mm-hmm. And it's so funny, just those little moves. And let me tell you guys, I'm saying this like I am an expert at this. Absolutely not. There's many a times where I'm like, Adeline, next time we're going to, So again, but if you can try to start to build that into your habit, it's so amazing the outcomes that you'll have in all of your relationships.
Well, and like you said, it up levels the relationship. If you have these tough conversations well, it's like we just went through the Arctic together, wintered over in the Arctic together, because so rarely do these bad, these uncomfortable conversations so rarely go well that when they do, you're like, dude, that was awesome. And now I trust you more because I know we can handle challenging situations together. I'm more likely to be not only a creative thinker because you took my idea into account, but I'm more likely to be honest with you. And we're going to have easier, tough conversations in the future. It's amazing.
And the respect level just elevates exponentially, right?
Totally.
Bam. Done. Yep. All right, man. Okay. So guys, you're dealing with any confrontation in your life. I mean, and just literally sprinkled magical unicorn dust into your life. Start using some of those things. And again, if you don't get it right every time, it's okay. Right. That's a habit that you've got to build, right? It's not like all of a sudden it happens overnight.
Right. And that's exactly what I did with my speaking business. You're right. Look back and say, okay, what would I do differently? It's the same thing with these tough conversations. Do the debrief. All right. What went well? What do I want to do again? What do I want to do differently? Because that's the only way it gets better. You're not going to get better after, listening to me or reading Crucial Conversations. You have to practice it and then debrief and try it again.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, just like Anne said, it's that self-reflection. And however you do that, whether that's writing in your journal, whether that's thinking about it on your car ride home, I know if I get in an argument with someone, I'm like, geez, how could I have handled that differently?
Right.
And 9 out of 10 times, I know, I went off the handle or I lost it or I didn't think, And if I just, sometimes time is okay too. I always say sometimes when there's confrontation, saying, hey, listen, I need a day or two to think about this because when emotions are high, yep. I don't care how good you are. Like, you're just not going to be, you're not going to deliver the same sort of message to your audience.
Yeah. And as you're doing that debrief, big part of emotional intelligence and learning that self-regulation. So in that hot moment, you can say the right things is filling out the whole, when they blank, I will blank. Because a lot of times we're doing the same things over and over because we're really good at habits. And if we want to change that habit, we kind of have to make that little script for ourselves. So I know that sometimes when Erica tells me what to do, I get super defensive and I yell at her. Okay, so next time Erica asks me to do something, I'm going to take a breath and ask her a question about the task rather than getting defensive, right? So we plan the difference that we want to do.
Yes, yes. All right. Well, listen, this is really, really useful information. Okay, so listen, I want to ask you if today $25,000 check were to show up in your mailbox, where would you, I know. I'm not giving out $25,000 checks, but one day when this podcast has gone viral, I will, Ann, I promise. Tell me.
She's like Oprah. She's like, you get a car and you get a car.
Man, wouldn't that be nice? One day. All right. So what would you do if it showed up and they said there was a note, a sticky note on it. You have no idea who gave it to you. And it said, listen, Ann, you have to invest this somewhere in your business. What would you do with it?
$25,000. So one of my big, I'm developing a new program on just discomfort and getting uncomfortable because I think it's so super important. And so one of the things I'm going to be investing in next year that this would go to is a one-on-one coaching to create a new keynote on discomfort and on this like dancing in the discomfort zone concept, because I know that I'm already a good speaker. I just like it. I do it naturally. Like I'm comfortable with it. Most people are like, I would rather get in a box with a bunch of snakes than, you know, go up on stage and talk, right? For some reason, I'm weirdly wired. I really like it. And I have the energy for it. But I know if I was to invest that money in some good targeted practice and guidance that I am going to knock it out of the park. So if that showed up, that's what I would do with it.
Love it. So it sounds like you'd invest it like back, I mean, in yourself, on your business, on, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, and I love that. I love that. Hey, listen, how can I next level? And I think so many people, if a $25,000 check were to show up, they think about, okay, the shiny new car or the new vacation or the new this or the new that. Like a lot of times you need to, we have to remember, we have to invest in ourselves. Mm-hmm. And just like Ann does, I mean, Ann literally, people hire her at, you know, to be able to invest in their people, right? That's what Ann does. I mean, if you're out there and you're looking for someone like just to invest such goodness into maybe your staff, into, you know, an entrepreneur, you know, enterprise that you're starting, whatever that may be. I mean, that's exactly what she does. And she helps cater to that audience and make sure that she's investing at the highest level that she can to make sure at the on the outside of it or the outcome of it, you're getting tenfold of what you've put into it, like monetarily, right? That people are walking away with it. So just talk a little bit more, Ann, about like where people can find you, a little bit more about your business, just in case someone's a little like, you know, interested in saying, man, I need Ann in my life.
Well, yourchangespeaker.com is my website. So if you want to go, it's your change speaker. You can also go to annbonnie.ninja, by the way. It'll take you to the same website.
Okay, annbonnie.com. Where did this ninja come from? I mean, you seem like a ninja because she can do just about anything. But let's see if there's a hidden story to this.
No, there's not. I was buying annbonnie.com and annbonnie.org. And they're like, you want annbonnie.ninja? And I'm like, yes.
Okay, because so like you seem like the type too. That it, in your past life, like you could have been a professional ninja, like just with like who you are.
Fun fact, if you Google me, you Google Ann Bonnie, you're not going to get me. You're going to get everything about Ann Bonnie, the infamous female pirate who like marauded through the Caribbean in the late 1700s.
Bam. Bam, there it is. Ninja, it is. Pirate, I mean, speaker.
Yep.
She guys, this woman does it all. I mean, if you were, I know so many people are like, man, I wish this podcast was another hour long because this woman is spreading such goodness into me. But guys, reach out to Ann. She is just a ball of energy, so much fun, so skilled at what she does. And let me tell you, like, her content, absolutely out of control. Just an amazing person to get to know, an amazing person to maybe bring into your corporate environment or bring into like your life, and just spread such phenomenal goodness. So, Anne, before we sign off today, anything you'd want to leave the audience with, any like last minute, like departing, you know, ninja pirate and Bonnie words of wisdom?
Well, it would be get uncomfortable. I also run discomfort retreats where we talk about what is holding you back because you're uncomfortable, because you're scared, because you're, you know, whatever it is. So go out there and get uncomfortable and do something that raises your ability to get uncomfortable again.
Love it. Love it. And guys, that can be the smallest thing or the biggest thing. Like, it doesn't, I think some people think, oh, I have to get uncomfortable. It means I have to go from like, I ran a mile today to I need to say I'm going to sign up for a marathon. No, it can be little things, right? Little things that just make us uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. Just go up to that, you know, person, like maybe you're not good at like meeting new friends, and just go up to that that extra person, like next time you're in the grocery store, and just strike up a conversation, right? That could be absolutely scary, where if they met Anne and I, we would invite them to dinner.
We would ask them to their grocery card.
I mean, we would be driving them crazy, and they're probably making that person feel uncomfortable, right? But with that being said, Anne, I just want to thank you so much, because you, I mean, we haven't even known each other that long, but from the minute I met you, I'm like, this woman is all she identifies with, everything that's on her resume, and so much more. Guys, please reach out to Anne. Her information and everything will be in the show notes. She is, again, just one to watch, one to be part of. I know she's already up-leveled my life. I was like, "What, man, I didn't think I could get on a call and actually have someone have equal, if not more energy than me, and speak at an octave that I spoke at and be like, and it almost sounds like we're shouting at each other, but it's really just because we're so excited.
We're so excited.
Right? Right. I mean, I'm like, bam, I need you on this podcast, girlfriend, because you were just going to fill everyone with such good energy on this
Friday.
We can
co-host. Let's do it.
You can I can see us tap dancing on the stage together.
Yes.
Right? Bam. All right, guys. Well, with that being said, this is Grit, Grace, and Glitz, where we go after our gritty goals. We make sure that we give ourselves the grace, just like Anne talked about, those times in our life where we owe ourselves that grace, but we also celebrate the glitz and the moment, like anything that happens day to day, big wins, small wins, all the wins in between, that we don't forget to celebrate where we've been, where we're going, and all that's to come in the future. So with that being said, thank you guys for joining Grit, Grace, and Glitz. Please put a comment below. Please reach out to Anne and go and have the most abundantly filled, energetic, and awesome day. Cheers. I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.